Praise God. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for your power and your anointing and your Holy Spirit goodness to flow in this room between us men here. And Holy Spirit, just take over this Bible study. Just let the Word of God come alive to us and allow us to see things that we've never seen before. And I pray your blessing in this time. And I pray that not only do you bless this time, but this time carries into our lives in the coming days. And we're better men for it. And we are refreshed. And we make better decisions because your Word works in us mightily, God. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3. Verse 14. Everybody there? I want to talk here in this study about growing spiritually, growing up in the Lord. You know, God doesn't want children, He wants sons and daughters. When you're a child of God, that's great. That's what you are first. First, you're actually an infant in the kingdom. We're just infants. It's like God has to do everything for us. We need so much grace, you know. We still sin, and God has to cover that for us. And it's kind of like what you do for your baby at home. You change their diapers every day. And some of us put out a lot of stuff. Verbally. Stuff that should go in diapers. You know, we sin with our mouths. We sin with our thoughts. I mean, God has to cover us. And we start out as real babes. And God literally has to cover what we're doing. And by His Spirit, give us grace. Because God is holy. And at first, when we're first saved, we're not. And then you grow up a little, and he starts bringing you along, and you start turning from a child of God into a son of God. Jesus is the firstborn son of God, but we are the nextborns. And the Bible says he's the firstborn of many brothers and sisters. He's the oldest. But we're all younger little brothers and sisters to Jesus. And I'm going to show you tonight in the Scripture where He doesn't want us to be children. He wants us to be sons. Full-blown sons. And you know, when I say sons, that means women too. There might be a lady listening on the internet or on the website or with a CD to this teaching. And the Bible calls her a son of God, but He calls men brides of Christ. You know what? It's true. Men are called brides of Christ. Women are called sons of God. Well, Jesus is firstborn of many brethren. They didn't say sisters, but you get what I mean? It actually says in Scripture by the Apostle Paul that in Christ there's neither male nor female. Everybody know it says that? There's neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female. There's no race division. There's no. I'm better than you. You're there. You're that. When you're in Christ, we're all one. I love it when I go into a church and it's very multicultural, because it looks like heaven. The church looks like heaven to me. That's the way heaven will look. We're all one. There's no rich or poor in Christ. God considers the man with no money just as well off as the man with money who's in Christ and who has his sins forgiven. There is no classes, races, male, female. There's nothing like that at all in God's kingdom. You know, like in communism, they tried to duplicate what is in God's kingdom, but they really ran afoul. I mean, they did it without God. But you know, there was actually a communal type of system in the book of Acts. They brought all their money together and made it common to everybody. It was very communal. I mean, and everything was common to all, and there was people that didn't have a lot, and there was people that didn't have little. Everybody had enough. And that's the way the apostles ran it. So you can see they've tried to redo that in society, and then they politically get into ditches. And, you know, I feel like Americanism still works best, but there is a place for everybody being blessed, you know. And that's the way heaven is. So God has given us at times little glimpses of heaven on earth to see that. So Ephesians 3:14, it says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." I love this scripture that I just read you. What do we get rooted in?
Love.
Yeah, it says here that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. So your faith actually gets rooted in love. And I have taught you here in past weeks that faith works by love. And when you have the love of God in you, and it is in you, because you don't have to put the love of God in you. All you have to do is have unveiled the love of God that you already got the day you received Christ. Does everybody see that? The day you receive Christ, you receive the love of God in you, in your heart, in seed form. So the Bible, what it does, and teaching in the Bible, what it does is it unveils the package you've already been given. You, the day you receive Christ, you got a benefits package, like corporations give, you know? Really, you did. And if you don't claim all your benefits, that's not God's problem. You know, in this benefits package, it's so much better than a corporate benefits package. Really. If you can't understand what I'm trying to say, just trust me. I've read the Bible through and through. I've studied it for almost 30 years. Listen, this is your corporate, I'm not going to say corporate, this is your heavenly benefits package. You get a long life on earth, followed up by an eternal life in heaven, in the presence of Almighty God Himself, talking with Him, loving on Him, Him loving on you. You can sit on His lap if you want. You can play, you know, you can play water. You can have a water fight with Jesus in the river of life. Really. And so you've got a long life on earth. The Bible says you get a long life on earth. This is in His benefits package. You also get to be free from sin. You also get your past sins forgiven, and you get the power to become the Son of God. It says in the book of John, He gave them power to become the sons of God. That's talking about us. You get the power to grow up in Christ and become a full-blown son of God. You get divine love. You get love for all mankind. You get this whole heavenly host of angels. A heavenly host of angels, as many as you want at any one time, to come and serve you and minister to you and protect you and help you and keep you. You get when you get ill, you get the right to have God remove that off your body. When you need money, you get the right to pray and go to God boldly and say, "Lord, Could you meet my needs? Your word says that you meet all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, let some of that come down here now, Lord. You know, you get the ability to move into a financial system with God where you get to give to His kingdom financially and see hundreds times in return back into your life. You actually get a heavenly account open with money in it. Heavenly money. The Bible says all this. I could go on. You get joy. You get permanent joy, and you can get drunkenness anytime you want without any side effects. Now, I see some of you go, well, I haven't felt all that. I haven't seen all that. Well, you know, quit rebelling against God so much. Walk into, I'm just saying it like it is, okay? Walk into your divine destiny with Him. Be all out for God. And get to know this Word. Because you know what? This is the New Testament. The last half of this is the New Testament. And if you've never heard the word testament in this way before, let me tell you. This is the last will and testament of Jesus Christ. All right? And in His last will and testament to man, He has left you this benefits package, and it was all purchased by His death and resurrection. His death on the cross and His resurrection. And so now, all you have to do is be an enforcer of Calvary and the rights purchased for you on Calvary. And ignorance is no excuse. If you're ignorant of your rights, you're not going to get them. I told this story before about the guy that goes on a ship's cruise. And he saved all he could to buy his ticket, all right, on the cruise. And he didn't have enough money. He couldn't even bring food along with him. But he had a bunch of crackers, so he stayed in his little quarters on the ship, and he ate crackers the whole cruise. And on the day he was leaving, the captain of the ship says, "I never saw you. You know, I hope you enjoyed your voyage, but I never saw you in my dining hall to eat with us on this whole cruise. What happened? Were you ill?" He goes, "Oh no, I'm sorry, but I couldn't afford the menu. I couldn't afford the dining hall. I'm sorry. I just ate a little bit in my quarters." And the captain goes, "Oh man, I wish someone had told you that was all in your ticket. You had the right to be in there and eat every time we ate. We had lobster and steak, and it was as much as you wanted. It was buffet." Okay, the point of that story is that that man's ignorance cost him dearly. And that's the way it is with the Word of God. Is what you don't know, the Bible says in the book of Hosea, "My people perish for a lack of knowledge." Sometimes our lives can't even be extended. Sometimes we don't even get to live out our whole life. I say we, but I don't mean me and you. I mean those other people that die young. They don't even get to live out their whole life because they don't understand. Well, like the guy that can't get out of his addiction. It's killing him. It's killing him. Plus, he's got to go to the seedy part of town to buy his stuff. Plus, he's got to deal with people that carry guns to buy his stuff. I mean, how long could we make this dangerous list? You know, it's kind of like, walking in deep addictions, illegal stuff, you know. It's kind of like walking out on, going to a 12-story apartment building and walking on the ledge. See, your long life is not automatic. There's a little ledge like this up on the edge of a 12 stories up. And you walk on that. And all day long you walk on that. You hop from one foot to the other. That's what people are doing when they're messing with their health. That's what you're doing when you're messing with getting high. God never intended us to do that. Did you know that the word pharmacy means sorcery? Yeah. There's a snake. Yeah. That means that if you're loaded down with prescription drugs every day, and I don't mean to make anyone in here feel bad, you are actually taking what in the 14th century could only be given by a sorcerer who works for Satan. And they're quick to give them to you. It's like, hey, let's, what, you're an alcoholic? Okay, let's put you on these three drugs. And hopefully that will tone down your desire for alcohol. And then what does the guy do? He takes those three drugs and he goes out and drinks. You see? And it's like God didn't mean us to treat our bodies like that. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, and our bodies are His. We're stewards only of our bodies. They belong to Him. When we get born again, He owns our body is His. We're His temple. We're His dwelling place. So, in verse 16, he says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. The Bible says, though our outward man perishes, because we're aging, when you age, your outward body is perishing one cell at a time, right? A day at a time. Though our outward man is perishing, our inward man is renewed day by day. And I'm telling you that your inward man will flow out of you into your outward man and bless it. I have a book out, and I'm going to try to get some printed for you guys. And it says, I said in that book, when you quit drinking, God will even start to restore your liver and give you back fresh new liver cells. But I mean, why would He even do that if you're not quitting drinking? Why would He do that? It's like the Bible says, don't tempt the Lord thy God. That Satan told Jesus to throw himself off a cliff. And Jesus says, Satan, don't tempt the Lord thy God. If I try to play the devil's game and walk on the edge of the apartment building 12 stories high, I am tempting God. Or another way would be playing Russian roulette. Well, there's 5 chances and 6, I won't get shot. And this is kind of fun. Gives me an adrenaline rush, you know. And it's like, that's tempting God. God will help me. God will make sure I live longer. No. I had to get this revelation myself, although I've never been addicted to alcohol or drugs or anything like that. I had to get this revelation about Super Size Me and Big Macs and Whoppers and, you know, that I was tempting God. We call them heart stoppers. And I was tempting God, and I've kind of really backed off of that stuff. And tried to eat better substance. Because I was tempting God. And Jesus says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. And you know where Jesus found that? That verse is in Deuteronomy. He found it over there. So this word we study builds us up on the inner man, and it causes our inner man to actually be able to come out and take over and bless and flow out of us. The inner man flows out of us. You know, there's a woman that crawled through a crowd. She had an issue of blood. She'd had it 14 years. And she said, if I would just but touch the hem of His garment, I will be made whole. And she touched His garment, and virtue flowed out of Him through His garment and caused her to get her full healing after 14 years. And you know what? It started on His inside. Jesus inside. And he spent a lot of time in prayer with His Father. He spent a lot of time in the Word. Well, He didn't have the New Testament, but He had the Old Testament. He quoted it all the time, the Old Testament. And what happened is that Word flowed out of Him on the inside into His body. And it didn't stop there. It flowed out of His body into His clothes. And it didn't stop there. It flowed out of His clothes if someone grabbed His clothes. And I'm telling you, that's available to us. That's, I can show you all through the Bible that He was our template, that we start getting whole and right on the inside. When I got right with God in the early 80s, and I had had a major cold, like lasted 6 weeks long. I was in bed at least 3 days every year. And when I got right with God, I just started reading the Word and got excited. Oh, that stopped. It took me 3 years to figure out that it had stopped. Where'd that go? I haven't had that. And it was the very year I received Christ and started studying. And it's like that Word inside me flowed out. And it's like even germs could not live on me. Now, that was 82. See, in 2002, that was what? 20 years. And in 2010, that's 28 years. And I'm here to tell you, my body's never been treated that way again. I don't even have a personal doctor. I am a healthy person. I'm 55. When I was 50, I was still doing some very athletic things. I was sparring with people. I was actually doing martial arts, sparring with 20-year-olds. No joint issues whatsoever. I could still be doing that if that was my priority, but it's not. I'm just telling you that what God will do for you, how He will cause you to walk and be free. You know what? God's greatest goal for you is to be free. Politically free. He'd love everybody to live in a politically free country, but not everybody does that's saved. But He'd like you to be free of addictions. He'd like you to be free of unhappiness. He would like you to be free of being macho, being pretentious. Everyone know what pretentious means? It's when you put on. It's like when you see people walking by over there and you start talking a little louder so they'll hear over there, you know, because you want them to hear your stuff because you don't feel validated inside yourself for who you are unless you think someone else is impressed with you. Jesus wasn't like that at all. Jesus said, come learn of me. He says, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's what Jesus said. He had no pretentiousness. He didn't care who thought what. You know, I take my kids out to a big dinner out at the restaurants, and I say, we're all going to pray now. And all my teenagers would go, like, who's watching me, you know? Are any of my friends from high school here or junior high? And it's like I'm just the old dad that, you know, didn't care. And, you know, it's like that's the way God will make you. And you get free. And every day and month and year you're with Jesus Christ, you're more free in your mind. And it's being for, like Lonnie and I were talking about the other night, and Lonnie is making a point that what you perceive is what you get. See, I don't perceive any sickness in me and I don't get it. I perceive that I'm heaven bound and I am. But it's more than just mental perception. These are realities of the heart, and you get changed on the inside. I could just talk to you all day like this, but let's get on with the scripture. 1 Peter 2. Everybody there? Verse 2. and 3. It says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted the Lord is gracious. Okay, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word. The Apostle Paul showed us that there's the milk of the word and there's the meat of the word. Now, if you go back to my example of a baby and his diapers and getting changed by his parents, you don't feed a one-year-old steak. Okay? And you can't feed a 15-year-old only milk. Right? Although my 15-year-olds would drink a carton of milk at a time. But they've got to have solid food, and the baby can't have solid food, right? Well, that's the way it is. When you're a baby in Christ, you need milk. Now, I teach a lot of meat. I teach a lot of meat in here. More hard to understand stuff, more special revelations. I assume you all got saved and received Christ at one time. And so I assume you've gotten milk everywhere you've ever been. And so I like to try to raise up your understanding, your revelation into the meatiness of becoming a grown son instead of a little baby under God. See? But what is the milk of the word? I'll give you some examples. You need to be born again. You're going to heaven. There is a devil. There is a hell. There is a heaven. There is angels. I mean, these are all things. Christ died for your sins. You repent and you receive Christ. These are all milk. Okay? Right here. These are all milk. But, so what's the meat of the word? Well, the meat of the word is like how to remove an addiction out of your life. That's meaty. What we're studying right now is a little meaty, okay? In the scriptures we're looking at. But the meat of the word would be like healing. Healing for your body. Healing for your body is slightly more advanced than forgiveness of your soul. But did you know those two go together? Healing for your body and forgiveness of your soul go together. Did you know that? David in Psalm 23 says, my cup runneth over. Well, your soul can get so forgiven that it spills out into your body and heals some of your body. Because, listen, righteousness means rightness. When you're forgiven, you're righteous. And righteousness means rightness. Okay? When you're out of sorts and your body's ill, that's called disease. And that means no ease. Alright? Disease means no ease. Okay? But your body can actually come back into rightness also. Which means your body can come into righteousness too. And it's by the Word of God. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why God says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all of my iniquities, and who heals all of my diseases. I don't even believe alcoholism is a disease. But if it was, God would heal it. But it's not a disease. It's a sin. And you can't cloud that, because if I eat too many Hostess Twinkies and I'm addicted to those, then I've got a disease too. You know? And you can't call every addiction a disease. And you know what? Sometimes when you take alcoholism away from a person, they just move into another addiction. You see? Now their body might be altered chemically, and so they have got a physical malady going on in their body because it's altered chemically. But that weans out, you know, you detoxify out, then you get off of it for several weeks and months, and then pretty soon, after a while, all the alcohol is gone from your cells. It's all gone. And now your cells are not crying out for it because there's none left. The memory kind of leaves, you know? Let's look at this. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy Let's go find 2 Timothy. It's after Thessalonians. Verse 15. Does anyone have an old King James in here? I've got a new King James.
You got King James Version. King James Version.
Yeah, I'm going to want you to read that after I read it. Be diligent to present your verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker. Who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Aaron, could you read that?
Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Okay, so study to show yourself approved to God.
Right.
When you are approved to God, that means His goodness has manifested into you and changed you and transformed you by the power of the Word that you studied. And what is rightly dividing the Word of truth? Well, you know what? There's too many people that will actually take one sentence of Scripture and make a doctrine out of it. And you can't do that. Like when a minister, I've given this example in here before, and I'm sorry, but it's a good one. When a minister in the Old West, in the movies, in Western movies, he's doing a funeral, and there's three little children standing by the graveside, and their young mother is in the grave. And the minister goes, "The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." That's what the minister does. And the little children go, "Well, then I hate the Lord because He killed my mama." See? Now that minister just misled the children, just quoted false doctrine, because he was quoting the book of Job. And if you go read the book of Job, it says in there that Satan killed Job's children. Satan did it. And Satan did lightning. Lightning came down from Satan. And it says that he killed all of Job's livestock. Satan did it. But the minister is quoting, and then Job said, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away." If you go read all 42 chapters of the book of Job, you can find where God comes to him and he says, "You don't know what you've been talking about. Now you need to stop it." And Job says, "Oh Lord, I put my hand in my mouth. I've been wrong." When he said the Lord does this, he was wrong. And God didn't like it. And it was slander against God. And so that's what you call not rightly dividing the word of truth. Because this is the way the Bible works. The Bible reveals itself. But you need two or three or more witnesses out of the Bible to confirm every truth. So if you go find one truth, because it's kind of like if you go confirm one truth by one line of the Bible, you just violated the interpreting of Scriptures. It says in Revelations, "I saw an angel fly across the heavens." And this is how, I'll give you a really stupid illustration of not dividing the Word properly. What if someone said, "Yep, there's such a thing as a horse fly and there's such a thing as an angel fly, because it says in Revelations, I saw an angel fly buzzing around. I saw an angel fly." See? And he left off the rest of the sentence. "I saw an angel fly across the heavens." So he took the one line as truth. And yet, men have done that for thousands of years, misinterpreted the Scripture by not interpreting Scripture with Scripture and getting the number of witnesses together. In other words, every truth that you teach and that you study, every divine truth has a fabric and a thread all through the Word of God revealing that truth. And you cannot take something, one line from the Bible, and declare it as truth. Now, 1 Timothy 4, let's just go backwards one book. 1 Timothy 4, verse 15. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. That's a great scripture. Meditate on these things. You know, did you know how the Bible, after we receive Christ and we're born again, it says in the Old Testament, the way we receive the Bible is line upon line, precept by precept, here a little, there a little. That's how we receive divine truth, biblical truth. That's how we receive it the rest of our lives. Picture a guy that's building a wall out of bricks. He can't build the third row until he's built the first row and the second row. And that's the way Scripture works. You may not be ready for a certain truth. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. I'm not your teacher. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. And He may not consider you ready for one truth until you have a better foundational truth below it. Does everybody see that? Hebrews 6. That should be right before, right after Timothy. Hebrews 6. I love the Word of God. I love it. I love the Word of God gives me a high. It makes me feel exhilarated. It makes me feel alive. It says in Proverbs, "My words are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh." The Word brings life. You'll find this one interesting. I've studied this one out a lot. Look at Hebrews 6. Verse 1. "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance for dead works and of faith towards God, and of doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits." Okay, I'm going to tell you what I believe that means. There are a few people in here that will no longer come to my Bible studies. Because I don't talk about the basics enough as they would like to hear them. Which they probably went to a church for 15, 20 years or something, and they heard the pastor speaking the same thing every week. All right? Just give a slight variation to it. But I kind of like to spread out on other revelations, okay? On deeper things. I like to give things that people have never heard. You can go anywhere and hear the same old stuff, right? Wouldn't it be neat to hear some stuff you've never heard before? Now look at this. "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ..." In other words, there's some basics of Christ, and after a while you need to leave them. Doesn't mean depart from believing in them. It means depart from discussing them all the time, because now you know them. And that we shouldn't have to discuss you getting born again every week. Right? And receiving Christ every week. And yet some churches, that's what they do. They talk about, you know, receiving Christ, don't want to go to hell, didn't get water baptized. They tell you the same thing every week. And the sinner goes in there and they go, "Well, been here, done this." And God is alive and He's interesting and He's got a sense of humor. If you walk into a church and they've got a colorful pastor that is funny, current, bringing you stuff, you know, don't shut him out. God has put His blessing on that man to make the Word of God alive to you and bring it into your current lifestyle. See? And then look what it says. It says, leave the discussion of the elementary principles. Let us go on to perfection. How are you going to get more perfect unless you learn deeper stuff? See? Not laying again the foundation. Now, he's going to give you the list. This list almost looks in order to me. Listen to the list. Here's the elementary principles. Listen. Repentance from dead works. That's being born again. Faith towards God. That's once you repent, you believe that he saves you or heals you or delivers you from alcohol or drugs. I mean, faith towards God, right? That's two. Doctrine of baptisms. Notice they say baptisms plural. That's because there's three kinds of baptisms in the Bible. Three. You could ask me later privately, because I'm not going to go down that trail right now. But there's a doctrine of baptisms. Laying on of hands. And you might walk in a church where they're laying hands on people, and you go, I've never seen this before. I don't want this, but I've got news for you. That is a basic doctrine of Christ. And if your church never did it, then they were not practicing all the basic doctrines of Christ. Okay? So there's things you haven't seen that Christians are doing that really bless people. Okay? And of eternal judgment. That's like the great white throne judgment. I mean, so there's a list. There's a big list right there. And so we will do this as God permits, and God's permitting it. Here we are studying it. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Everybody go to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3. Here's another great scripture. We'll start at 17. It says, now where the Lord is, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Let me explain what I believe that means. Okay? This is the mirror. The Word of God. Now, if you stare in a mirror, you're vain. But the Apostle Paul's saying, this mirror here will show you Christ, and when you stare at it long enough, it will put his reflection upon you. And the reflection is of glory. Everybody see that? And then you will be moving. It says, are being transformed into the same image as him. And then you will be moving from glory to glory. You know what? You're never, ever supposed to lose to the devil. Ever. But it's kind of like guys come in here and it's like, well, Satan kicked my you know what. But you know what? We are never, ever supposed to lose to the devil. Ever. We might get in a battle that takes a while, but in the end, we always win. Because it says right here that you move from glory, just like Jesus did on the earth, you move from one glorious situation of solutions in your life to the next one. You move from one, you go from a mountaintop peak, you have to go into a valley, but you get right back up to the mountaintop again and win again. Then you go down into the valley, and now you're tried again. You're being tried again. But you can get right back up to that mountaintop and win again. And it's like, after a while, the more you walk with the Lord, the more you can start like jumping over these valleys, and you're moving from glory. The mountaintop is a glorious place. You move from glory to glory to glory. You're moving You're moving from glory to glory. You always can win with Christ. Christ doesn't lose. You know? The Christian life is a life of blessing. And, you know, you're your own worst enemy in the Christian life. And the battleground is here between your ears in this thing called the brain. This is where the sin comes and gets originated. But if you stare in this mirror, which is the Word of God, you will be changed from glory. You'll be transformed into the image of Christ, and you will then have your victories from glory to glory. Now, I'm not a motivator, but I'm telling you, I know what I'm saying is motivating. If people are listening on the internet or by a CD right now, at this point of this teaching, they're motivated. And you guys are too. And I'm not a motivator. The motivator is God's Word. And Colossians 1, we only have about two left. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Go to Colossians, it's right after Philippians. We're getting a lot of scripture here. This is what you need. This is your healing right here. This is building life into your soul. And your spirit is getting a snack. What is our friend from the retreat who went with us in our car?
Oh, Ben.
Ben says, God gave me a Scooby snack.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. First, Colossians 1. Verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. So, again, we get filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Understanding. Spiritual understanding. Through studying like this, we gain spiritual understanding. And it causes us to be strengthened with might. Anyone ever hear of a spirit of might? That's what they say came on Samson.
What?
A spirit of might. You ever hear that? I don't believe he looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger, Samson. I believe he looked like a normal man with just normal muscles. Okay? But I believe when the Holy Spirit came on him, he was strong. And he took down 10,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. There's an old pulpit joke that asses' jawbones in the pulpit have taken down many more than that. But Samson, a spirit of might. One of my mentors, Dave DeWell, he said a spirit of might came on him once. He said this guy was demon-possessed, and he was sitting in his easy chair in a living room, this guy, and he growled at Dave DeWell and yelled at him and said, I'm going to kill you. And he ran at him across the room, and Dave DeWell just kind of said, in the name of Jesus, and that guy just hit the floor halfway across the room. And it's like, Dave said, I felt something come on me like might. He didn't even have to touch him. There's nothing mightier than not even have to touch. You know? Philippians. Philippians right before. Philippians 1. Philippians 1. It's the very book right before. We're almost done, guys. Philippians 1. Do some of you feel like God has been started something new in your life? Ken, I know you are there. Yep, I know it. With you. Look at this thing. Look at verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now Jesus is returning. Wouldn't it be exciting that this all gets completed in you? Now, I suggest to you that as I just read that to you, you too, Isidro, all of you guys, I submit to you that as I just said it to you, let that be a divine prophecy over your life today. That being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And you know what? You just need to put faith in that. Say, God will complete the work he's begun in me. Say that after me right now. God will complete the work he has begun in me. He won't let you down. He will complete it. This isn't in here by accident. God knew you would say this tonight. He knew you would say this tonight. Verse 9. And this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. Look at that. Love, as your love abounds, you receive more knowledge and discernment. Love is the root, I'm telling you. Love is the root for everything in God's kingdom. God is love. He's in us, so we're love. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Well, guess what? Jesus is in me. Jesus and I are one. Guess what? I and the Father are one. Greg and the Father are one. Greg and the Holy Spirit is one. Greg and Jesus Christ is one. It's a Holy Trinity, but there's four of us now. That's how I feel about it. That's my personal identity. It's a divine society. It's a little family. It's a heavenly family. And I'm in it. And I'm one with Him, and I have His love in me. And His love, I have limitless love in me. Verse 10. That you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. And I believe that, you know, we can offend God with our sins, but I believe that this also means we don't have to be offended by our fellow man either. Offense, we can be in such love that we are without offense from our fellow man. In other words, each night I'm ready to forgive tomorrow's offenses against me. Hey, that makes a stacked deck that you have against Satan. When you're ready to forgive tomorrow's offenses, you know? How much easier can I forgive the ones right now if I'm already ready to forgive the ones in the future? Without offense till the day of Christ. They're saying till Christ returns. We're going to walk this way till He returns. And then, when we're with Him in eternity, forever and ever, and we have our glorified bodies, and we're like Him, this stuff isn't any trouble at all. This is where we need the Word of God, is walking on this earth with its curses on it. You see? In this flesh, in this human flesh that wants to sin, this is where I need the Word of God to work for me. The Word is working mightily in us. There's a scripture. The Word is working mightily. Last scripture we're going to go through, Ephesians. Just go backwards one book. to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Now I said to you that you don't want to stay children of God forever. You do not want to stay children of God for long. You want to become a son. You want to walk into sonship. Sonship isn't so focused on you anymore. Sonship is focused on the other guy and his welfare and the benefit of the kingdom. It's like, don't be the problem wherever you go. Be the solution. Don't be the needy one. Be the giver. That's sonship. Sonships don't tear down the kingdom of God. Sons don't tear down the kingdom of God. Sons are like pillars holding up everything in the kingdom of God. That's the way sons are. Ephesians 4. That we, verse 14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things unto Him who is the head, Christ. But may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. So, that is our calling, is to grow up into Christ, full sonship in Christ. That's our calling. Praise God. Well, before I turn this recording off, let's just... Anyone have a question or anything? A comment?
As you speak the word and we receive it, you believe we actually speak it. You believe that you actually acknowledge the problem that you speak it. That's a question.
Oh, I believe it. On my drive down here, I say, Lord, anoint my words to speak by your Spirit and anoint each man or woman to hear by your Spirit and let there be a transfer. Let there be an anointing flow that then they are able to receive on. And the Bible says some hear and they receive 20, 60-fold, some 100-fold, some 30-fold. God is speaking about multiplication of this word back in your heart and mind. And I do believe then He's, you know what? God isn't preaching His word except through men and women. Angels don't preach this word. People preach, and God gives them the power of the Spirit to impart it, and then He causes people to hear it and grow and carry it away. And you know, you don't know, the Bible says in Isaiah 55, God says, my word does not return unto me void, but it accomplishes where I sent it. One of you might do something in 3 years from now based on this teaching tonight. That is a godly thing. That is a great thing. And furthermore, I believe that all these words, everything, it has an eternal return too. There's things eternally taking place on these words that are earthly, that we speak in a moment in time on earth. Well, why don't we all say a prayer together? It's the kind of prayer I do usually where we receive the Lord. And if you receive the Lord, say it with me anyway. It doesn't hurt you to say it, but it could help another man or woman to say it along with you. So, dear Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive my sins. Wash me in the blood. I believe Jesus died for me. I turn from sin. I want to live for you. Also, Lord, let this word work in me and be multiplied till one day I share it and set people free. In Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.